Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburn, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
Hi, my name is Steven. I'm a 16-year-old carnivore, and I've lost over 60 pounds doing this diet, and I've reversed my pre-diabetes, despite even my doctors not knowing that this would be a good diet for me long-term. I used to go to an endocrinologist, and I used to have to do blood work, like, every few weeks. So basically, they saw that my A1C and all those blood markers were going down, and they were wondering what was happening. But I knew that they were vegetarian, so they used to always tell me I can't eat more than a palmful of meat, and I have to eat a lot of vegetables and fruits and all that type of stuff. So then I used to tell them, yeah, all I eat is chicken the size of my palm, rice, and broccoli. And then they were like, oh, you're doing such a great job. And then they kept questioning if I was actually doing that because all my blood markers were dropping so much, which actually sort of shows you that even they didn't believe what they were saying was true. And then by the time I ended up not being pre-diabetic anymore and I didn't need to go there anymore, when they asked me that question again, I said, no, all I've been eating is pure meat. And then they were very surprised.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the power of a proper human diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, blessed to welcome Steven to the channel. Welcome, Steven. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for joining me. I'm looking forward to hearing your story. Could you introduce yourself and tell us where you're from and maybe a little bit about your life before you found carnivore?
So my name is Steven. I come from Westchester, New York. I started carnivore because I used to weigh 290 pounds and I was pre-diabetic. Now I'm down to like the mid 210s and I'm aiming to get down to hopefully 160.
That's incredible. How old are you?
Right now I'm 16.
And how did you find carnivore?
So basically me and my dad, we both were watching videos like Loris Bath and all those types of people. And then eventually we came across carnivore through that, and then we both decided to start it. My dad right now is off of it, but I've been sticking to it like very strictly.
And how long have you been doing it for?
It's been a few months now. I would say just over 6 or 7 months, probably.
When you started carnivore, did you notice any big changes? Like, this is working for me, or this is kind of weird. It's unusual just eating meat, right?
Yeah. I started off with keto. So I was slightly more adapted to eating more meat than other people were. It's just when I was on keto, I sort of wouldn't stick to it that strictly because like you, I didn't really like whenever I would eat carbs, it just wouldn't work for me.
You think it's that addiction thing? You'd eat a little bit of carbs, you want more and more?
I'm one of those people.
I feel like, yeah, I don't know about you, Steven, but I feel like most people are that way. They just don't admit it.
Like my brother, like, I don't know what it is about my brother. Cause he can eat like one piece of cake and be fine. I'm like the type of person where like, I would like sneak and find a way to eat more than one piece or eat the entire cake.
Right. I'm with you.
I understand why.
When you started carnivore, you've lost a lot of weight, which is incredible. Have you had any other changes or did you notice anything else after you were doing it for a while?
Yeah. So as I mentioned to you via email, I'm most rower. So I found that by doing carnivore, it also helped my athletic performance. I've been feeling a lot stronger. I also felt that my stamina improved a lot and my sleep also improved. Like I used to snore in the past, but now that's all gone.
What was it like when you first started carnivore, I understand you came from keto, so it was a little bit easier to transition, but what were your first meals like? I have a lot of new people, and they always ask those questions like, what did you eat at first? How did you kind of wrap your brain around it? What was the first week like?
So for me personally, I'm just a typical carnivore. I just eat a lot of steaks. That's basically all I've been doing. Once in a while, I incorporate some other cuts. Like, I like short ribs, something that people don't really mention. And I also like sometimes incorporating things like maybe grilled chicken once in a while.
Nice. And do you feel like you're going to continue doing carnivore, or are you just doing it until you reach a certain goal?
For me personally, I wanted to stick to it because I felt like, obviously, with rowing, I want my performance to stay enhanced and I don't want my performance to fall off. And I also felt that it helped with mental clarity. I'm like a person that's very focused on the academics, so I don't want that mental clarity to go away.
Did you have any like brain fog or just getting tired all the time before carnivore?
I didn't really have too much brain fog, but like I would always get tired. And also when like you're studying, for me personally, like I have to study very late at night just because of my schedule. So it didn't really help me when I was getting tired throughout the day.
Right. What was the hardest part of going carnivore for you?
So for me, I would say like the transition phase was sort of difficult because like I would always get headaches. And I also sort of started doing it during the school year. So I had to sort of adapt while also going to rowing and also dealing with all the other extracurriculars I do as well as school. So it was sort of difficult balancing all that.
Was it difficult at all doing this in school? Do you have friends or peers that look at you kind of unusually?
For me personally, right now I'm doing intermittent fasting, so no one really knows unless I tell them.
And you mentioned your dad was doing this with you at first. That probably helped, right?
Yeah, because me and him were sort of like a support system, but I think he got off of it a few months ago.
Right. Do you have any other family members that are like, what are you doing, Stephen? This is kind of crazy. You can't only eat meat.
Like my mom was sort of like that. Like she thought it was really bad. But then we got back my blood work and it improved. And also like, obviously she saw my weight going down a lot. So she sort of started to change her mind.
Do you ever think about what if you didn't do carnivore? Where would you be right now? Or where would you be maybe 5 years from now if you continued on the path you were on before carnivore?
Today's video is sponsored proudly by ButcherBox. They recently launched a new initiative where you can support your local USA American farmers. Support American farmers with this new US pasture-raised beef from ButcherBox. This is USDA choice meat. Look at this ribeye, it's absolutely fantastic. The cows are never in feedlots. They're pasture-raised, there's no antibiotics, no hormones. You're supporting a local American farmer. I get so many people asking me, how can I do that? Now you can do it with ButcherBox. There's more details, including a really special offer, if you use the link in the description below. Thank you so much for watching. Now back to today's video.
Yeah, I've always sort of wondered that. Like, I've been wondering whether I'd weigh 300 or whether I would still find a way to go down, or what would happen if I never started carnivore.
Right. Yeah, we often do this just for the immediate. I don't know if you've thought about it a lot, but my why changed from my immediate to more long-term, like 20 years from now, 30 years from now, avoiding dementia and Alzheimer's and all of those things that we get in our old age. I feel like we avoid a lot of those if we're eating this way.
Yeah, especially dementia. Like I've always told my parents this. There's two things I never want to die of or have in my life. That's dementia and a stroke. Because when your brain doesn't function properly, that's the worst way to die, in my opinion.
Yeah. My grandfather had a stroke. And when I was about your age, actually, it was the most heartbreaking thing because he worked his entire life. He worked two jobs and he finally got to retire. And we were so excited. Grandpa's retiring. He could finally relax. And then he had a stroke and he was paralyzed. Half of his body was paralyzed for the rest of his life. And I really had he been eating a proper human diet, well, he didn't even know about it back then, right? But I don't think he ever would have had that stroke in the first place. I feel like a lot of our health issues are just from the ways we're eating. Has your perspective changed when you look around the world and there's a lot of sick people out there?
Yeah. Sorry to hear that, by the way, about your grandfather. And I sort of agree with you about a lot of those things. And I've wondered sort of like, especially for things like, because when I broke my bone once, because I had a broken bone, it took like 3 or 4 months to heal. I wonder if like, instead of eating pure junk food like I was back then when I broke my bone, if things like that, I could have healed in a month. Or for people who have heart disease or multiple sclerosis or any of those bad diseases, if by going carnivore, maybe those symptoms that they have could alleviate.
I'm with you on that. I think Dr. Hampton did a video a while back about healing and the power of being on carnivore. Steven, I always get people on my channel that'll ask questions, and it'll always be like, will carnivore heal X? And it's always a different ailment or issue. And my answer has since become yes. Just because of this, I'm not trying to overhype carnivore, but I feel like if you are in the best metabolic health you can be, if your sleep is improved because of it, your immune system becomes stronger and you have no inflammation, it's like you're setting yourself up with everything to possibly give your body a chance to heal versus if you had all those things working against you. So I got to be careful because I tend to overhype carnivore, but I believe it to be true. Like if you broke a bone before carnivore and then after, I think it would heal a lot quicker. You wouldn't have any of that inflammation. You'd be sleeping better so your body could heal and repair itself quicker. And you're giving yourself protein and fat, which is like the building block. So,
yeah.
Has your perspective just on the general world changed at all? You know, there's like a lot of sick people out there. I always talk about this because we're doing this documentary, Healing Humanity. And a lot of people, they do this and then they start to look around and be like, wow, people are actually really sick and they may not even realize it.
Like, similar to what you said, going back to experience and having to do with the world, I've always wondered why people don't try it. Because for a lot of people, they're hesitant to try it because they think it's going to hurt their health or whatever. But I'm pretty sure it's like pretty established that everyone knows that cookies and crackers and chips and everything is bad for you. Yet people still eat those. So why don't people just try it for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? And then if it's awful for them, then they could stop it. 2 weeks is not going to do anything to you. But if they notice changes being made, then they could stick to it.
Yeah. That's such good advice, Steven. It's wise. I always tell people too, I'm like, think of how many people you've lost to heart disease. Sadly, I know a couple. Like I said, my grandpa had a stroke. I lost an uncle to heart disease. But all the people I know that died of heart disease, not one of them was eating carnivore. They were all eating the standard American diet and the pizza and the cookies and all the junk food. So, but people are so scared of carnivore. Like, no, you should probably be scared of what you're doing now that's causing all these issues and that inflammation.
Yeah. Like my great grandmother, she lived till she was 99. She just passed away recently. But anyways, she lived in Greece in like a very small town. So all they had there were like meat and plants and fish. So that's all she ate. And she lived till 99. A lot of the people on that island lived till their late 80s or 90s. So it sort of shows you how by not eating junk food, you end up living longer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. That was another thing that I've learned doing this documentary is I think most of us should be living much longer. I had Dr. Chafee on my channel, and he said people should be living into their 120s. He said, all the science supports that. The only reason we're not is because we're chronically inflamed and we're eating all these things we shouldn't be eating and it's shortening our lives. People don't even realize if they get to their 80s and they're happy, they think they lived a long, happy life and they could have lived potentially 40 years more.
Yeah. And I also like showing people Maggie's story. Whenever they say that you won't live long, she's like in her 80s and she looks fitter than most 60-year-old.
Yeah. Hey, here's Maggie. There we go.
Yeah. Look at her. Her biceps are very big.
She put me and Adam to shame. I'm like, I gotta work out some more.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's an inspiration. And it's not just she's lived to 82 and she's got those biceps. She's thriving and she's happy and she's joyful and she's energetic. And sadly, most people, if they make it to their 80s, it's usually with mobility issues and all sorts of other health issues, just barely getting there. Steven, I get a lot of people that ask me about carnivore for the younger generation, your age, 16-year-olds, teenagers, because my daughter went carnivore at age 16 also. Do you have any advice for them? They always ask, like, how can I get my child, my teenager, my kid eating this way because they're eating so unhealthily?
One thing I always suggest is just try it for a month. The first 2 weeks are probably not going to be the greatest just because you're transitioning. So it'll probably be difficult, especially for kids, just because our bodies aren't as developed as others are. But like after the first 2 weeks, you should feel fine. And then just try out things that you haven't done before. Like try to run more, try to row more, try to play any sport more. And you'll see how much your athleticism and everything has improved. And just take a test like before and take the same test after and don't do any practice and see what your difference is in scoring during that test. Like I took an SAT, for example, before starting carnivore, where I scored a 1200, and then I'm actually taking the SAT next week. And then now I'm doing, and then right after doing carnivore, I scored a 1400, and then now I'm doing practice to hopefully bring that to the high 1500s.
That's incredible.
It sort of shows you that just by going carnivore, it could improve your scores by like 200 points on an SAT. So God knows what else it could do.
That's awesome. Congratulations, by the way. When I first did my first video on carnivore, it was my 30-day video, and I talked about, I watched Jeopardy my whole life, and after going carnivore, it sounds like I'm overhyping carnivore, but I was getting so many more answers after going carnivore. I said that in that video. It makes sense, though. If you have more energy and you don't have inflammation, you're able to think more clearly, you have the energy to do it, you're able to just tap into things that you wouldn't have remembered or realized otherwise because you got that brain fog and that energy. I wish they would do like a large scale test on that. That'd be a good test. Pre-carnivore and then post-carnivore. Do the SAT or some sort of IQ test.
Like, I feel like, I don't know why they don't have any control trials where they have like, even for patients with dementia or heart disease or anything, where they just test them for like 3 months.
Yeah.
And then see if any of their symptoms or anything changes.
We're hoping to film this gentleman. His name's Hal Cranmer, and he runs these long-term care facilities for the elderly, and he's feeding them all proper human diet, and many of them are reversing those things, dementia, and many of them are actually going home, which is just crazy. But you're right. There's not enough science or studies on them. I've heard Dr. Sean Baker talking about trying to get funding to do it. That was something, Stephen, that was really eye-opening to me. It's like a lot of these studies that we hear, they're millions of dollars, and therefore they're only bought and paid for if there's some reward at the end. Like you could sell a drug, or you can lead someone down the road of eating more processed foods or something like that. So it's so hard to get these studies, but hopefully there'll be more coming out. I've heard Dr. Baker talk about doing a few for a while now.
Yeah. And I don't know if you, I don't know what the movie name is, but it's something to do with McDonald's. I don't know if you remember what it's called, but it's some guy, he like gained a bunch of weight by eating a bunch of McDonald's. I feel like it would be cool if someone does the same thing with carnivore, but instead of seeing bad benefits, or I guess bad results, they'll see positive benefits, which will maybe suggest to people that maybe they should try it, and hopefully that would help with carnivore.
Yeah. You know, in a little bit of a way, that's happened already. So the documentary you're talking about is called Supersize Me.
Yeah,
and you dig into that documentary, and there's a lot of misinformation in there. But it's interesting you mentioned that, Stephen. I'm carnivore now. I did keto before. I don't know that I would have started carnivore if not for keto. And one of the ways I learned about keto was through a documentary. And I'll send you a link for this if you want to watch it. It's not exactly like you described, but it's close. It's called Fathead. And the guy that did it, he did it in counter to Supersize Me, because he's like, look, you can actually go to McDonald's and eat just the burger patty and eat a pound of french fries and a piece of cream and a gallon of Coke, and you could actually lose weight if you do it properly. So he kind of did what you were saying. This was a long time ago. It wasn't the best documentary in the world, but it taught me about keto. I'm like, this kind of makes sense. And it actually got me doing keto, which is the only thing that ever helped me with all of my issues over the years. But like you, I couldn't sustain it because I'd get a little bit of carbs and I'd want more and more, and then I would just kind of yo-yo from there.
Yeah. There's also like a vegan movie that I had to see in health class, and I sort of found it funny because they were comparing all the vegan people to all the people that were eating the standard American diet. Then it was with firefighters, I think.
Yeah.
And then they were saying, oh, the vegans are so much healthier. So I was like, why don't you also add a carnivore group and then see how the vegans compare to them?
Yes. So true. They always do that. Let's compare it to people on the standard American diet, just literally eating junk in the most horrible state of health you could be, and then say, vegan's better. I hope they do that at some point. Carnivore versus vegan. Let's try that at some point. I'm not blaming the vegan people either. I'm like, if you can get out of the processed junk food and survive on just eating plants, it's a heck of a lot better than doing the standard American diet. But I'm just careful in recommending that because I've seen a lot of people go down that path and they end up in very, very poor health.
Yeah. I also don't think it's that great for bone density.
Right. You hear of, I hear those stories all the time. People breaking bones and fracturing bones, and they're usually plant-based. The other problem that I have with plant-based is depression, anxiety, fertility issues, hormonal issues. I think that's all related to our lack of eating fatty meat because it's been demonized for so long. The reason I know this too is just, I know it's an anecdote, but I did keto, and before carnivore, I did 1 year where I was mostly plant-based. Salad for lunch, salad for dinner. I'd have a little bit of protein, but I had almost no fat. I did almost exactly what they were saying, and I was still horribly depressed. I had IBS. I had sleep issues. My immune system was weak, and all of those things are our hormones. If you look at India, it's just full of vegetarians, plant-based folks over there, and their rates of depression and fertility issues, which are all related to hormones, it's horrible. It's absolutely like an epidemic going on over there. I feel like that's the missing piece. I don't know. Have people told you this, Stephen, on carnivore? You would have done the same thing if you just got rid of junk food.
I feel like people have said that in the past, but then I always reply, but if you remove junk food, then you're basically left with carnivore and plants.
Right? Yeah. I get that also, one.
Like, one thing I find that vegans tend to lack is creatine, which is what I feel like helps people on carnivore with mental clarity and with performance.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I'm not judging them, but when I see like vegan videos or vegan things, it's always just, they seem so unhappy. I don't know if you've had a lot of experience with carnivores, but I've interviewed a couple hundred and I've done meetups, and all the carnivores I meet, they're just glowing and they're full of happiness and joy and they're excited and they're happy to live life. And I'm trying to be unbiased and honest, but when I meet vegan folks or plant-based folks, they usually seem kind of mad or fatigued or upset or angry.
You may actually find this kind of funny. So basically, I used to go to an endocrinologist because I was pre-diabetic. And when I went there, she used to tell me that I can't do carnivore because it's going to hurt my health. And I believe she was like vegetarian or something. And anyway, so I kept doing carnivore without listening to them. And then my blood markers started to improve. And then they said, what are you doing? Like, your blood markers are improving really quick. And then I said, I'm eating salads and grilled chicken the size of my palm every day because they kept telling me to do that. And then at the very end, once my prediabetes all went away and everything, they were like, they asked me again, what did you do? Like, is anything changing or whatever? And I said, yeah, all I'm eating is me. I was so confused. And then they told me about Dr. Atkins dying of a heart attack or whatever. But then I searched it up and he slid on ice. So I'm like,
things. That is awesome. Good job. Oh, I hear that too. We had a similar thing with our dogs. We turned our dogs carnivore. And after about maybe a year, my wife took them to the vet. And the vet was like, they look amazing. They're coats are nice and shiny, and they've lost weight, and they're not wheezing anymore, and they're healthier. What are they doing? My wife said they went carnivore, and they're like, no, you can't do that. You got to give them pumpkin, and you got to mix some kale in with their food and all this stuff. I was like, what would a dog in the wild do in the woods? They wouldn't be eating pumpkin and kale. They would have caught a squirrel or a bunny, and they would eat raw, and that would have been it. It's crazy how backwards some things are like that.
like all animals, if you look at most animals, a majority of the pets, at least that we have, were raised in the past by their, I guess, cats and dogs and all these animals. They used to primarily eat meat, if not all meat. And even humans, if you look at the chambers in our stomach, like they've compared the number of chambers our stomach has to carnivores, and it's identical.
Yeah, it's so true. And if you look, I've talked about this a little bit on my channel, but it's so interesting. On Earth, there's so many species, they don't even have count anymore. So they just say there's millions, but we don't know. But almost every species has an intended diet, and almost every species eats it. Like a cow eats grass, a koala eats eucalyptus. They eat like one or two things. The only species on this planet of the millions and millions that are suffering and sick are humans and what you've seen, dogs and cats. It's like humans and the animals we feed, the grains and foods they weren't supposed to eat.
Like, I think they've actually done studies where they compared wild dogs to dogs with humans, and they live like 3 years less. But yeah, people never talk about this.
Yeah. It's so heartbreaking, too, because anyone that has a dog, they absolutely love their dog. They want the best for their dog. But I've got a friend that has a dog. I didn't even know this was a thing, Steven. They have to give it insulin. Like, it's type 2 diabetic. The dog is. I'm like, I didn't even know dogs can get that. They're like, literally, the dogs are getting the human diseases that we're causing from our nutrition. And it's only the ones that are domesticated. The animals in the wild are literally just thriving and living much longer. It's a sad thing. I think a lot of it, people just don't realize. But when you talk about it, like you and I are now, like an elementary school student could understand these things. All the animals that the humans are feeding are getting just like the humans are. Stop doing that. Something's wrong there.
And like even adding on to that, like you mentioned to dogs with insulin, it's like very well known that you shouldn't give dogs chocolate. And when you think about it, is it really that they're going to die from eating it, or is it just that their body can't process it? Similar to how our bodies can't process it. It's just people don't really notice that our bodies can't process it that well because they've never tried not to process it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's like the zoo. They have signs up at the zoo. Don't feed these animals human foods because they will get sick. They will literally get sick from the foods we're eating. It is kind of crazy. Do you look at the world a little bit differently now? Because for me, it's like, wow, all those years, I'm not trying to exaggerate, but I was basically eating food that wasn't really food, that was kind of low dosages of poison to some degree, or toxins or things that my body was never intended to eat. Do you look at it weird, or do you get mad at all? Like we were kind of misled for most of our lives.
I agree with you there. And I also find it, I'm also a little worried about future generations, because there was a study done, I believe, on cats. It was where, like, after the third or fourth generation of eating a poor diet, by the third or fourth generation, they started to have issues genetically because of that. Mm. And I'm wondering if that's going to end up happening to, like, not my generation, but the two generations after that, because I feel like my generation is like the second generation.
Yeah. That's really interesting, Steven. I never heard anyone. I've heard the argument, like I've said many times, I'm worried for your generation or this next generation because there's so many more chemicals and processed foods. Like I was so sick. Here's my before and after. On that left there, I was so sick. I was on so much medication for so long, but I didn't even eat as bad as like your generation had. I would have had it been available, but like your generation has access to so much more processed, highly processed junk that I never did. That's so addictive too. Like the Starbucks coffee, and there's this much sugar in it, and high fructose corn syrup, and all the food dyes and all that stuff. But you're right. I never thought about that. When you think that it's been a generation and another generation, and pretty soon it's going to be like what built into the genetics of the next generation, this sickness.
Yeah. Like, let me see if I could find this photo. Okay, here. I don't know if you could see this photo here.
Oh, wow.
Steve and me in the past. Oh. And Steve was like, I was really big. And it sort of shows you because, like, I don't care how much meat you give any animal. If you give them 10 pounds of meat per day, they're not going to gain that much weight.
Right.
Like, the addiction that people, even, like, including me, have had for food and have been able to gain that much weight that quickly has just never happened without these human foods that everyone's making. Like, yeah. Even there's fat dogs now and fat cats. If you go in the wild, there's no fat dogs or fat cats. Otherwise, they're going to die.
Right. Steven, how do you feel like we got to this place where you were that sick and I was that sick? I don't say we were overweight or fat. I feel like the being overweight or fat is a symptom of the underlying sickness. But really, we were metabolically sick. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but how do you feel like we got to this place?
I feel like it's sort of all based on manipulation. Like, as I mentioned previously, I'm also a stock guy. So, like, you know, like, even in the stock market, you know that for basic things like GameStop and whatever, those were known to be, like, manipulated by other people. So a lot of the bigger investors didn't invest in those stocks because they knew it was manipulation. But for things like junk food and whatever, most people don't notice that all these studies are paid for by the biggest companies. Most people don't notice that when they're comparing these studies to show that lower cholesterol levels are better and things like that, they're comparing it to someone who's eating a poor diet already. So it doesn't really show you what it's intended to show.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's a bunch of wrong incentives as well. Every incentive, like healthcare, every incentive is to make as much money as possible with healthcare instead of healing people. And the food is just, let's make as much money as we can, even if we're getting little children addicted to cereal and they're getting sicker and sicker because of it. It doesn't matter because the only incentive is to make more money.
Like, I actually was joking with my dad because I don't know if you've seen on the Cheerio packages, but it says it lowers cholesterol, better for the heart. I was making a joke with him because I saw that Oreos do the same thing. So I was like, is Oreos going to start putting on their package that it helps with your heart?
That's so much craziness with all that stuff.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the stocks. Can you talk a little bit about that? How did you get into that? And do you have your own YouTube channel? Can people follow you, find more?
Yeah. So if you go at official Stevenomics, that's my YouTube channel. I was actually planning on posting a before and after carnivore video, maybe discussing that on my own channel too. But basically what I do there is I just teach people about stocks, similar to what you're doing with carnivore. I just talk about stocks, show people setups, whatever. I started this like in fourth grade because I was interested in finance always. And I always liked the idea of like owning part of a company. So what I did was I ended up doing some research. COVID happened. That actually sort of benefited me because it gave me more time to learn about trading and all those things. So that ended up allowing me to learn more by myself and then also put it in practice. At first I started off with a fake account. And then my dad let me set up a real account after doing well on a fake account for a year.
That's so cool. I'll have a link in the description below. So hopefully we'll send a bunch of subscribers over to check you out.
Yeah.
So what stock should I buy? Gotta watch the YouTube channel.
Yeah. I also post stuff on Twitter sometimes. Like if you look at my Twitter, I post like chart setups and whatever. Because I'm a very fundamental based person. Like, I like looking at balance sheets and then looking at the charts and comparing them.
Do you feel like that sort of analytical view and digging into the stocks has helped you sort of analyze what's messed up with our food system as well?
Yeah, like a lot of people, they just go based on, like right now, if I search up what's a good diet, they're always going to look at the top result and then say, oh, that's what it said. Google's right. But I'm like, you didn't read the other 40 articles below that. You didn't read the second page or the third page or the fourth page. It's like if you go to a college paper and you include like some site you don't paraphrase the sentence and then you keep it in there, they would mark it as wrong. But if they kept reading and they saw that later at the very end of your paper, you cited everything that you mentioned, then they wouldn't mark it as wrong because you cited everything. You have to read all the results. You can't just read the top one and then say that's right.
Right, right. Steven, what are your plans for the future?
So my plan was, personally, I wanted to end up going to a good college. From there, I wanted to study finance and possibly something related to computer science. And then I wanted to go into maybe working for some sort of hedge fund or something, and then possibly make my own from there.
That's really cool. You're like way far ahead of so many people your age. It's pretty impressive. Good job.
Yeah. I run a sports card company on the side here. You can see it. I'll pull up some. That's on the side there if you've seen me.
Oh, nice.
Kobe Bryant, if you've ever seen him. You probably know Kobe Bryant.
Oh, yeah. So you got a little entrepreneur streak in you also. That's really cool. That's what I'm trying to get my girls all to do, whatever they're most passionate about. My daughter started carnivore at 16. All my girls are doing it now, except my older daughter, Lily. She keeps falling off. But
carnivore has sort of taught me that, like, you always want to do stuff by yourself. Like, that's why I had business and whatever on the side, because you never really know what people are doing in the background. Like, with all these foods that have so many chemicals in them, I bet you they weren't telling all their employees and all of this stuff and all their customers and everything at first. But eventually they ended up adding all these things and making everything worse and worse and worse. So you don't really know if that's going to happen in whatever industry you're working for, which is why I like having stuff on the side. This way, if I was ever involved with a company, ended up doing something bad and I didn't like their morals, I could just leave.
Yeah. Dude, that's so smart. I never really intended to do that, but that's kind of what I've done with my life. I know, like, with stocks, they often say diversify, right? Have a bunch of different things. I've kind of done that. So my wife and I, we have a little Airbnb. Just makes a little bit of money for our family. We have a little dog kennel. Makes a little bit of money for our family. We run our little small town movie theater, which doesn't really make any money at all, but it's still nice to have. But the point is, I have all these different little things, YouTube stuff coming in. So if there's ever a big crash, or like you said, there's just something doesn't work out, you have that as sort of a backup. But I've also just found, and I kind of encourage my girls to do it too, it's just so much nicer and rewarding if you are kind of working for yourself and kind of steering the ship yourself. It can get frustrating working for someone else and then realizing too that, hey, X amount of money came in and they're taking all of this, and then I get this little bit of a chunk, versus if you're doing it yourself, you can have total control. And you have to work a lot harder and take more risks if you're doing it yourself, but usually the payoff is bigger and more rewarding that way.
Yeah, and I've also seen, like, with people that I've spoken to, like, they complain about how, like, they're doing X amount of work and they're doing this while other people aren't doing this, yet they're being paid less than this person. If you do it all yourself, you're sort of rewarding yourself based on how much work you do. You're not relying on other people to pay you for the amount of work you do, although you may work more or less than someone else.
Yeah, that's so true. That was before going off on my own. I worked at a company. We built websites, and it was like a dream job. It was awesome. But I worked so hard there, and I used to have that same thing. Like, man, I'm working like way harder than these other people, but I'm still getting paid the same amount. But there's nothing you can do about it unless you go off on your own, kind of thing. And then you get to reap all of those benefits. That's really cool. So, all right, Steven, my last question for you is, I have a lot of new carnivores that come on my channel, and many of them are suffering. They have different health issues and they want to start carnivore, but they're like, this is just too crazy. You can't just eat meat. What advice would you have for someone that is carnivore curious, but can't wrap their brain around it?
So the first thing I'm going to say, which I've said it multiple times throughout the interview, but just try it for a month. 1 month is not going to hurt you. I don't care who you are. 1 month is not that much time. It's going to help. Just try it one time for a month, and I bet you it's going to help. Also, I recommend, like, if you search, I don't know, for example, say you have diabetes. You could look at me because I was pre-diabetic, but say you weigh like a lot, like 600 pounds. You could look at Bill from Alaska, for example. Say you have MS. I bet you there's some person on YouTube who has had MS that has started carnivore. Just search up whatever you're looking for and carnivore after that, and I bet you someone will pop up.
Dude, that is the best advice ever. I love it. I really believe that's how people will find healing, because, you know, there's a lot of documentaries and videos and books and stuff about the science of a ketogenic diet, but they're boring. I feel like people need to see, I have horrible bipolar depression. that guy has horrible bipolar depression, but he did this and overcame it. Like, that's what really will, I think, inspire people to change versus just the science. So that's really cool. So, Steven, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. I will have a link in the description below for Steven's YouTube channel. So I encourage everyone to go check it out. And thank you so much, Steven.
Thank you.